Well, morning everybody on this first service morning of 2021. And it's so different to what I expected it would be. Here we are in Lowestoft in Tier 4. We were just starting to meet again as a community in a restricted area, and circumstances have dictated again that we've got to record our services. So I'm here this morning with Nick and Mark, and they're helping do the technical side. There is John, and he's on the camera. I've got Roy here, he's on security, so nobody rings the doorbell. And I've got Fox, and he's here, he's going to edit this service. And there's Andrew kindly doing our sound. And so here we are as six people on site, seven people, sorry, trying to produce this service for you. But, you know, God is still good. And I want to wish you a good and happy and prosperous and godly new year. I don't know if you know the origins of the word January, but January comes from the Roman god Janus. And Janus was this Roman god who had one head looking forward and one head looking back. He was a two-headed god. And the Romans said that January was a time to look back to the old year and forward to the new year. And in one sense, you know, because of God, we can look back and we think, you know, God has been with us over the last 12 months, and we can look forward and certainly say that God will be with us in the next 12 months. And even in these challenging times, we have all got testimony to how good God is. And I want to begin this new year on a positive, by worshipping God. And we're going to do that this morning. I've got some little coronavirus protective communion. We was going to use this. This is like a little plastic cup, and it's got a little piece of bread in and a little bit of wine. We're going to share communion together later on in the service. Let me just say, if you're at home now and you've not got any bread or wine, why not put the button on pause? Go get some Ribena, go get some blackcurrant juice, go get a little bit of Merlot or Shiraz if you want, a little bit of bread or a cracker. But it doesn't really matter what your bread and wine is, but it matters how you come. And you can share communion with us, and that will be happening as part of this recorded service today. So let me just read to you, as Andrew puts on our screen, these wonderful words from Psalm 48. And these are the words that we read: great is the Lord. Maybe you just want to say that as you're at home this morning. You may be feeling a little bit down, a little bit deflated, but say to yourself now, great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Worthy of your praise, worthy of my praise, worthy of our praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Well, you've probably already contextualized that short verse, because it picks up the theme of this wonderful, familiar opening worship song that we're going to listen to. And I hope you're going to sing it at home as I sing it in my heart and mind and voice here on these premises. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
The city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we worship. want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal, throughout earth and heaven above. City of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Praise the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. Bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone, God eternal, throughout earth and heaven above. And Lord, we want to lift your name. Thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal, throughout earth and heaven above. You alone are God eternal, throughout earth and heaven.
So, Lord, we want to thank you that even on this first Sunday in lockdown, that you aren't locked down. You are still great. You are a Lord who is most worthy to be praised. And, Lord, we want to thank you for what you have done in our lives. And, Lord, thank you that in all the confusion of COVID, we have schools that can be shut. We have hospitals that are full. We have a vaccine that will be available to us soon. In a world where people don't have even homes to isolate in, hospitals to be cared in, and schools to be educated in. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've given us already in this wonderful free democracy that we live in. And, Lord, we want to thank you for your revelation to us, Lord, that we can thank you for those things, knowing that you are the author and the creator of all good things. And we want to declare at the beginning of 2021, we thank you for the work that you've done in lives, in our lives. And Lord, we are expecting that you will do good work in our lives in the year to come. And Lord, where we have disappointed you, where we have fallen short in 2020, as we look back, we want to look forward as those who are forgiven, those who are restored, and those who can begin again. So may we all begin again at the beginning of this year, forgetting, as the Apostle Paul says, what is behind, and striving to what is in front. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned to you earlier that we're going to share communion together this morning. And I'm just not, rather than do a standard type sermon, we're going to just centralize our whole service on a few points on what communion is all about. And now, you know, as a minister, I always like normally the NIV, the New International Version of the Bible. But this morning, I'm going to use some less familiar words, the same scriptures, but I'm going to talk to you from the Message version of the scriptures. And the reason I want to do this, because it'll be a bit less familiar to you, it will help you remember what you remember of the NIV or the King James, but it may just reinvigorate you. It may bring to light something new for you on communion. So as Andrew just displays it, I'm now going to read to you from 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 34 in the Message version of the Bible. And this is when the Apostle Paul talks to some Corinthian Christians, that simply means Christians who lived in Corinth in Greece, and was telling them about how communion should be undertaken. And although Paul wasn't at the Last Supper with the other disciples, at some time Jesus had an encounter with him, a post-resurrection encounter with the Apostle Paul, and told Paul of how communion should be undertaken, because obviously it was a very important thing that Jesus needed to communicate it with Paul, so Paul could communicate it with the church and us today. So this is what Paul says: let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself. That's what I was talking about. That's when Paul had an encounter with Jesus. And passed them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, or on the night of his betrayal, I'm jumping into NIV, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you." That covenant means sort of like an agreement. My new sort of, it's not a contract, it's a covenant where we both agree. My covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spat on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the Master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. That's why so many of you, even now, are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. If we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened later on. Better to be confronted by the Master now than to face a fiery confrontation later. So, my friends, when you come together to the Lord's table, be reverent and courteous with one another. If you're so hungry that you can't wait to be served, go home and get a sandwich. But by no means returning this meal into an eating and drinking binge or a family squabble. It's a spiritual meal, a love feast. The other things you asked about, I'll respond to in person when I make my next visit. I hope that made you think a little bit more on this First Communion Sunday of 2021. So the first thing I want to talk about as we look at our first slide is the Lord's Supper is a remembrance service. I don't know how you remember things. Sometimes I used to put a knot in my hanky, then just think, well, what have I done the knot in the hanky for? We all have ways of remembering things. Maybe you put post-its all over the front of your fridge. Maybe you have a 1980s file of fax. Maybe you have an electronic calendar on your iPhone. But the church has communion as a means of remembrance. We read these words in 1 Corinthians 11:25. After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. This is a meal when we remember Jesus. And so often the church forgets who Jesus is and becomes some kind of other society. Though valuable in a broken world, we're a Jesus people. And it's time for us to look back and remember Jesus. This is a Jesus present day memorial to remind us what happened 2,000 years ago. It's simply good to remember the basic facts. And to help us remember those basic facts, we're going to listen now to a wonderful ballad hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And rather than me tell you what happened 2,000 years ago, let the words of this wonderful worship song explain to you what we're remembering together this morning.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the demands my soul, my life, my all.
Now, the next thing we're going to look at is the Lord's Supper is a time of doing something together. When we drink the cup of blessing, aren't we taking into ourselves the blood, the very life of Christ? And isn't it the same with the loaf and the bread we break and eat? Don't we take it into ourselves, the body of the very life of Christ? Again, that's the message version. It's something we just don't do as individuals. Now, I know this morning, for some of you, you are at home by yourself, but you are going to commune with your other brothers and sisters at London Road Baptist Church, because this is something we're going to do together. Now, the reason it's important that we do something together, in the little break between when we were videoing, I was talking about with my, because I'm privileged this morning, I'm going to do communion with six of my great friends. But in some traditions, what the congregation do is very different to what the priest does. And in our Baptist understanding, we're all priests. And so you don't need me to serve you. You can serve yourself with the same authority, because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. So this is your table, and sometimes we serve communion from a table. This morning we're going to serve it just off this little coffee table. And that word table is important, because we don't have altars in the Baptist church. We have a table. And what makes communion very special is not the table, it's not the bread, it's not the wine, it's your faith and my faith, and us as community doing this together. This is an act of corporate worship. And the other reason that we're all going to do this together is that we've all failed together. When I look back at 2020, there are some stupid things that I have done, and I wish I hadn't done those things. And unless you're perfect, and if you are, please have a chat with me. You can tell me by email how good you are. But I reckon each and every one of you have made mistakes in the last year. We are all failures. And therefore, we're going to come to a failures table. We're coming to a table for sinners, not for saints. But that also is a great comfort, because, do you know, God loves me. Yes, he does. You may not, but he does. But he loves you equally. We're all equally failures, but we're all equally loved. And none of us is no less or no more special than anybody else. You can't do anything so bad to make God love you less. And you can't do anything really good to make God love you more. He loves you, and he loves us all. And one thing we can learn from the Anglicans is, at this point in the communion service, they say, the peace of the Lord is upon you. And they often respond, and you also. Or the peace of the Lord is for us all and for you also. And so I'm going to say in a moment, the peace of the Lord is for you. And where you're sat, and for my colleagues here, they will reply, and you also. The peace of the Lord is for you. Yeah, they did mumble there. I hope it's picked up on the recording through their masks. And so, remember that. Now, the next thing we remember is that the Lord's Supper is a proclamation. It's a statement. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. broken for me, broken for you. And as you and I partake in the elements of the Lord's Supper, you and I also proclaim from our own hearts, irrespective to others, but to others, your faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else is doing in their home this morning. For me, it doesn't make any difference where my six brothers are, but it matters where I am. And so you and I proclaim equally that we've messed up, as I touched on earlier. But we equally are going to proclaim that as individuals we need Jesus in our lives. You proclaim to others that Jesus gave himself for you on the cross for your sins. You proclaim that this God whom loves us hates sin but loves the sinners. And you proclaim that God hates sin, and Jesus demonstrated the divine opposition to sin and the divine determination for this God whom we worship to redeem us. We proclaim that Jesus demonstrates fully the love of God. We tell others that it's this Jesus who endured our pain so that we don't have to do penitence for the entirety of our lives. And because of him and him alone, we choose to be disciples and do our best to live for him. We recognize that we cannot save ourselves, we cannot clean ourselves. It's simply the blood of Jesus that takes my place, pays my price, and that is captivated in this simple song that makes this simple statement. It's your blood. It's your blood alone that cleanses me.
It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives. God's precious sacrifice.
The next thing we're going to look at is the Lord's Supper is a time for testing and self-examination and awesome respect. Examine your motives, test your heart, come to this meal in holy awe. There's no point in sharing in communion if you don't know Jesus. There is no power in bread and wine. For many of you, your bread and wine will have come from Asda, Sainsbury's or Tesco. There is nothing magical about bread and wine, but there is something incredibly powerful of him who that bread and wine represents. And so we need to acknowledge ourselves and come clean with God. You know, God highlights your faults and my faults, not so we feel horrible about those faults, so he can forgive those faults. And the Word of God says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and right, and he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he will put us right with God. And so we are not to examine ourselves and motives to establish if we're worthy so as to deserve to take part in communion, because none of us are worthy, but he is worthy on our behalf. But we are to examine the manner and the motive in which we partake. And so I would say that, you know, if you don't want to move on with God or you're not right with God this morning, then God still loves you, but examine your motives. If you want to begin again with God this morning, then partake in this. And so we examine our lives so that we can confess our sins to this awesome God so that we can be forgiven. And so I'm going to just create a time of silence now before I introduce our next song, for you just to come close to God. To say to the Lord at the beginning of 2021, Lord, what do you want me to do different this year? And so, Lord, we come to you with our failures of 2020. We come to you with those things that seem to have power over us. And those things that are sort of, we can't share with those even closest to us. We want to be really honest with you. We understand there's no point in pretending because you know everything about us. You know how many hairs are on our head, Luke tells us in his gospel. We're told in the scriptures that you know every thought before it is upon our lips. So we don't have to pretend. We come to you as individuals. But Lord, we don't want to be defined by our mistakes, but we want to be defined by your forgiveness. We don't want our failures to shape us. We want the Holy Spirit to come upon us, affirm us that we're forgiven, and empower us to be what you've always destined us to be. So we recognize we're broken and damaged. We recognize we have no excuse. We can't blame others. And in not blaming others, we can take the responsibility for our failures upon ourselves. But taking upon ourselves allows us to pass them on to you. And so we lay at the foot of your cross during this communion time our faults, our sins. We reflect on the painful nature of your death, which really just mirrors the painful nature of our sins. And we recognize that horrific death needs to pay for horrific sin. So help us understand that the forgiveness of Jesus is greater than our faults. And so we confess not in the hope of forgiveness, but in the assurance of forgiveness. And so we claim that scripture that says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and right, and you are a great judge, and you will forgive us our sins, and you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us now, we ask, from our unrighteousness, in Jesus' name. Amen. And that cleansing of our unrighteousness is called grace. And that's why you get these wonderful songs like Amazing Grace. I can't understand how God can forgive you and me. I certainly can't understand how he can forgive me. And if I did understand that, then grace wouldn't be amazing. It would be understandable. And so I make no apologies. I don't understand God's grace, but I want to accept it. And this next song now, Broken Vessels, Amazing Grace, will help us understand the nature of this loving God who invites us to ask for his forgiveness. The next thing I just want to say is that the Lord's Supper is a time for gratitude. This is a celebration meal. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, it's interesting to attempt to contemplate for which Jesus offered thanks as he instituted the Lord's Supper. Maybe he was looking beyond the cross. Maybe he was just thanking God for the provision of bread and wine. However, I know what I'm going to thank God for this morning as I share communion. We can offer thanks for the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can offer thanks for the full forgiveness of our sin. We can offer thanks for the opportunity to begin again, to go back to go if we were playing Monopoly. We can give thanks that God gives us second, third, and fourth, and fifth new beginnings. I thank God that I will be defined by where I go from now on rather than where I have been. And I want to say that. You are now defined, following this communion, you will be defined by where you go, not by where you have been. I want to offer thanks that Jesus's forgiveness and sacrifice is adequate and pays fullness for my faults. I want to give thanks that I have a new life because of him. And I want to give thanks this morning for the gift of eternal life. That this forgiveness doesn't only forgive the sins of this life, but it guarantees eternity and fullness of life and eternal life. You know, you may doubt because of your insecurities, you're going to go to heaven. But you're going. And you'll join me there. And so dare to believe that you and I are going to heaven. You and I can simply thank God because he's good. And this next song we're going to sing, "Jesus Christ, I Think About Your Sacrifice," we're going to share together now. And use it as your prayer to say thank you before you and I share in that bread and wine together.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death many times. I wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. You are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross.
So we've said thank you, and we're saying thank you before we actually partake. And if you've understood all that's been said this morning, and from now on you want to be the person God has called you to be, and you understand that that's only possible through Jesus Christ, then you are welcome to share communion with us now. You don't have to be confirmed. You don't have to be part of this church. If you have stumbled upon us on the internet this morning, why not share communion with us and stumble with us? This meal is not for the perfect, but it's for failures. For failures who desire to fail no more. And so I want to say to you these words. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took some bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And I'm going to share my little piece of bread now. And then he did more. He said, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is in the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, I just use those words, until he comes, and that brings me neatly on to my sixth point. You know, the Lord's Supper is a prophecy. And this is what it says in the Message version. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. You know, one more communion until Jesus came a first time, but one less communion until he comes again. One day Jesus will lead us personally in communion. You know, I don't know lots about heaven. I know it will be perfect. But I do know this, that communion is so important that we'll partake in it again with him in heaven. Matthew 26, verse 29 says these words, "I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So Jesus was saying to those disciples then, and to us, his disciples today, communion, I won't partake in it again until you get to heaven. And so, as I said earlier, we've had one more communion since Jesus came the first time. Together we've shared one less communion until he comes again. And these elements of bread and wine proclaim the assurance and the forgiveness of sin and reveal again to us that Jesus died so that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly and have it to enjoy forever. All because of Jesus, in whose name we've met, whose name we remember today. And we're going to just remember that name of Jesus and declare it simply as beautiful in the words of our next song.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, you see.
You shine.
What a beautiful name. So we've met in the name of Jesus this morning, and I hope to meet you again next week. If you're a church member, please do join us in our special church meeting this Monday evening. We need your support to buy equipment so that we can more effectively broadcast our services to you. So let me just again wish you a very merry and prosperous and God-filled 2021. Let me thank again my friends here for helping us produce this service at such short notice. Thank you those that's helped in the week as well. And I'm just going to finish by these words to remind us what we have done, again for 1 Corinthians 11:23 to verse 26, where Paul says, and I'm going to say with you, let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I receive my instructions from the Master himself and pass them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. And what you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, what we have done this morning, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. And you will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Well, we've not done that this morning, have we? We've had a celebration meal together, a communion meal together. And so, bye to you all. Thank you again to my team here. And see you all next week. Bye.